This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, ready.
You tell the Randy Moss story.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Randy, it just hit his fingertips. Probably back at a wide receiver's coach. Moss was like, hey, don't you come over here with that FU. Moss was like, no FU. Camera's right behind it. I ain't gonna let him punk me on national TV.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, ESPN broadcaster and host Chris Fowler. Still to come, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great first 2 hours, if I may say so myself. It was a great chat with Tom Pelissero, who joined us in hour number one, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, walking us through the NFL's contingency as well as revised plan for the playoff seedings based on the fact that the Buffalo Bills-Cincinnati Bengals game that we all know stopped on Monday night will not be replayed. And in light of the terrific news coming out of the University of Cincinnati Hospital, where DeMar Hamlin is now breathing on his own and talking and getting better, everybody feeling better about turning the page towards playing football this weekend. The league came up with new rules, and it is a new rule to go ahead and change the seeding process like this, but it is clearly a unique situation. Tom explained the why and the how, and the league has since approved these rules. Chris Fowler joined us here in studio, hour number two, talking about the national championship game, talking about the Ohio State Georgia game that went down to the last second as the ball dropped in New York at the same time. The Peach Bowl, he talked about that. Growing up on SportsCenter, just like I did, albeit he got to NFL at ESPN 10 years before I did. Just some great memory lane stuff, some great Lee Corso stories. If you missed it, we re-air right as soon as this hour is over on the Roku channel. We are also placing some of these videos up on our YouTube page, Twitter, as well at Rich Eisen Show, youtube.com slash Rich Eisen Show. Also, our podcast is available to you, a video on demand service with Roku. Quite frankly, there's no way to avoid us. In this hour, we get back to our usual Friday fun of what's more likely. Chris Brockman, right, You'll come up with some ideas about what is more likely to happen this weekend.
Have some thoughts.
Shortly, I'll give you my top five wild card matchups I'm looking forward to seeing. I'd like to see the most. As we all know, we don't know any wild card matchups specifically just yet. We just know only one seed is locked in these playoffs, and that is the Giants at 6. That's it. In the NFC. The AFC could land in many different ways. The AFC South winner is going to wind up as the 4 seed. We know that. We just don't know who that's going to be. And Jacksonville has a chance to be the 7th seed, even if they lose tomorrow night against the Tennessee Titans. So, lots to discuss on this front. 844-204, which is the number to dial. Of the, resolution that the NFL membership and owners just passed, again, the decision to cancel the Bengals and Bills game and what that means. And, you know, we went into it. It's very arcane. It's very confusing. Tom Pelissero did his best to explain it. But the cancellation, essentially what it means is that the Baltimore Ravens have no shot to win the division and the Bengals have no shot to win the 1 seed. And the Bengals aren't terribly pleased about the fact that if they lose to the Ravens, it goes to a coin flip as to whether the Bengals, despite winning the division, have to go on the road to play the Baltimore Ravens in a wild card game. Again, these are the scenarios that have been created to try and make everything as fair and equitable as possible. Because, again, had the Bengals and Bills played and concluded, and obviously we hope that would have been the case for DeMar Hamlin and his family, it's possible the Bills would have won that game, and then the Ravens would have a chance to win the AFC North this weekend. That possibility is gone, as is the possibility of the Bengals to win the one seed. But the issue that the Bengals apparently are having is the fact that the tiebreak, when games aren't fully completed, usually is you go to winning percentage. At least that's the way it was during the COVID years if they were going to not play all the games. And instead, the fact that the Ravens won't have a better winning percentage than Cincinnati, and that's the way Cincinnati technically wins the division, the fact that they're going ahead and saying it's now a 50-50 shot, Bengals, that you don't get a home game. Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals, said, quote-unquote, it's black and white. It's in the rule book, talking about going by winning percentage. As far as I'm concerned, we just want the rules to be followed. And let us play 7 home games and 9 road games, he said, and then try to take a home playoff game away. That's what this team is built for, meaning to play a home playoff game. So not terribly happy about this. And in terms of making it known and then turning the page and playing the game, Taylor said, quote, we've got to fight for our teams in fair and equitable opportunities. It needs to be said. I want to make sure our players know we're fighting for what's fair for them. Then drop the it is what it is. And that he was proud that the guys won back-to-back divisional titles for the first time in franchise history, and now it's on to the bigger goals. That's what he had to say. You can't blame the Bengals for being upset. The Ravens have a chance to be, you know, reason to be upset that they can't win the division at all. I understand that the Bengals might be upset that they don't have a shot at the one seed, that the Bills beat the Chiefs, you know, in the regular season and won't have a chance potentially to use that tiebreak. They had a win-and-in scenario to win out, and they're not going to get that opportunity potentially. The win-and-in scenario belongs to the Chiefs. I get it, but when it's all said and done, there was no fair and equitable manner, I guess, in which to come up with this fix. Not everyone was going to be happy with it or buy it. It's kind of that simple. And this is the one way to not disrupt the entire playoffs, the NFC playoffs along with the AFC playoffs. So now comes the question of where to play the AFC championship game if it's a neutral site that is required. And there are many different scenarios that might actually be moot based on the results of the upcoming weekend. But we come out of week 18, we will know what the scenarios are, how the playoffs need to play out for this AFC championship to be played at a neutral site to make it fair that, okay, Bills, you didn't have a shot at the winning in scenario at the one seed, but you still get a chance to play in the AFC championship game at Kansas City. No, you'll have to play it at a neutral site, at least as a nod to them for having beaten Kansas City, and so on and so forth. Let's have this conversation now.
Let's do it.
Because I know how you feel about it.
Yeah.
That you want it to be indoors.
I think it's like a Super Bowl. I think you need to play it in the best possible conditions.
And I will push back, not like we're setting this up as a first take, but I will say it should be outdoors. It should be outdoors because if the game was in Kansas City, if the game was going to be in Buffalo, the game's going to be in Cincinnati, it's going to be outdoors. And I know you can't mirror the same elements as whatever would be on game day in Cincinnati if you're somewhere else outdoors, but you should play it in a cold weather site.
Why?
Because it would have been at a cold weather site anyway. And these teams are built to play in the cold weather. And that's the way it was going to be. So you might as well have it outdoors.
Are they built for cold weather? Because Green Bay is a cold weather team, but they're not built for cold weather.
Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cincinnati play their games outdoors.
Kansas City is built for indoors.
Right.
They can't run the ball.
AFC, the championship game, if it was going to be hosted by any of these three teams, would have been outdoors. So I say play it outdoors. And
so,
you play it outdoors.
Play it in Chicago in 0 degrees and snow?
Sure.
There's no player that would sign for that.
I know there's no player that would sign for that, but it would also be somewhat understandable for me that it's a cold weather site. It would have been cold in Kansas City, you know, how much colder would it have been in Chicago than Kansas City? Or don't have it in Chicago if you're concerned about bitter, freezing weather. I mean, I guess it could be just as bitter freezing weather in Cleveland. I mean, if it's in Kansas, if it's between Kansas City and Cincinnati, I prefer to choose a cold weather site that has direct flights into that town.
What about MetLife?
But Kansas City, to send Kansas City to New York, you want Kansas City fans to either have a short flight or a drivable distance.
Got it. Yep.
That's what you want.
I got you.
So you can't have it in New Orleans. By the way, let me ask you this question. If you have it indoors in New Orleans and it's between Kansas City and Cincinnati, is that not a home field advantage for Joe Burrow? If you've got fans that want to go root for Joe Burrow, laugh all you want.
No.
Dude, Burrow, right, I bet you Joe Burrow will never buy a meal in New Orleans again the rest of his life.
That's true.
Seriously.
We all know when you win as a college star in especially a small town, not New Orleans, a small town, you are legendary. So, yeah, like Joe Burrow is a
run
legend
from there in New Orleans. And Jamar Chase. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase show up to play an AFC championship game in New Orleans. You don't think Kansas City would be like, what?
Also, really? Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire went to LSU. So there's, you know, other teams that can. But yeah, when you're the quarterback, let's just put it that way, of the national championship, and you were in the Heisman Trophy and you were the number one pick. Yeah.
I think it's the same difference.
Buffalo and Kansas City. You know what one neutral site they won't be using that fits outdoors if it's Buffalo and Kansas City? Cincinnati. That would be somewhat disrespectful.
Yeah.
I would imagine. But is there a scenario? Did Pelissero say there was a scenario that it would be a neutral site if it's Buffalo and Cincinnati? Didn't he say that? I think he mentioned that there was, Cincinnati
Tom
was
had my mind blown, Rich.
Tom was like the beautiful mind juice.
Right, yes. He's moving things up.
If there is a neutral site, Buffalo and Cincinnati, that's required, I've got an interesting one. And I know Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Acrisure.
It's right down from Buffalo, and it's
In
the middle.
But their field is so horrible.
But also, though,
they would redo it.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many, if the Bengals would be like, that's not neutral to us.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Bengals would enjoy it.
You know what I mean? Here's the thing. Regardless of indoor or outdoor, I think it should be outdoor because it would have been anyway. You think it's indoor because if you're going to have a neutral site, you want the game to be played in the best possible conditions.
Yeah,
that's the Super Bowl mentality of removing weather from the equation.
That's my opinion, yes.
But you've got to have it in a spot that has got a ton of nonstop flights.
You want the fans to be able to go to the game.
And driving. Yeah, like if they can drive, it's somewhat drivable. And not like Larry David considering it 90 minutes outside of town as a destination wedding he won't go see.
Don't go.
What, 4 or 5 hour drive? You know, 10 max.
So think of what you got.
I don't know.
I mean, Nashville's not bad.
That's actually, yeah. That's
Nashville for Cincinnati and Kansas City?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Nashville to Kansas City.
That's not a bad one.
Is 500 miles. In Nashville to Cincinnati.
It's much closer, I'd imagine.
It's closer. It's 280 miles.
So,
I mean, this is the sort of stuff you have to consider. You can't just say, you know what, send Miami and Buffalo down to, I mean, send Kansas City and Buffalo down to Miami or Atlanta. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Charlotte.
It's
decent enough. The weather will be okay if you want to play outdoors.
Right. And indoors, Detroit is pulling up their turf. Yeah, Indianapolis has got a volleyball tournament.
Minnesota had a Super Bowl. They're ready.
Minnesota, but they might have a home playoff game.
Yeah, might actually be active,
That's right. So, you got to think of teams that aren't going to be.
I don't know what other dome situations are in the Midwest. That's kind of centrally located. You can go to Las Vegas.
But what are you going to tell Cincinnati fans, go fly out to Las Vegas?
They will.
Buffalo fans fly out to Las Vegas. I know they will.
I mean, they will.
Chris, I understand that. But you've got to also, let's be convenient, right? Let's be convenient about it. And plus, I would imagine they wouldn't choose Vegas because they got a Pro Bowl there the next week. I mean, logistically, this is, you understand what this would mean logistically? Obviously, hotel rooms would be easier to get in Las Vegas than many anywhere. Places. I mean, there are some intersections in Las Vegas that have more hotel rooms than certain cities that the NFL True. Plays in, you True. Know, but... Yeah, I mean, you got to choose somewhere in the Midwest and preferably outdoors.
Yeah. That kind of goes to the question I wanted to ask you guys. Like, what are you rooting for? Are you kind of rooting for chaos?
No, I'm not. What I'm rooting for is something that would have just been anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need to add chaos to yep. this.
Just anyway.
Scenario.
Like, a wild card team makes it and takes on one of these teams in the top three and they host one.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm hoping. I would hope for that. We're not sitting here. Championship weekend going shoulda, woulda, coulda, while Damar Hamlin's sitting wherever he is, hopefully getting better, and, you know, taking this in and going, you know, am I the cause of this? You know, something stupid. Mm-hmm. Stupid, where 3-4 weeks from now, we're like, well, if Damar Hamlin didn't, you know, almost get killed on the field, this would be different. I don't want to talk about it in the same way I would turn the page. I just want to focus on this kid getting better and football separate. That's what I'm hoping for. You know, and in that regard, I want to say one thing here before we take our first break of hour number three. And I've got my wild card games that I want to talk about. And then what's more likely? This is obviously everything's been lost in the NFL world this week. Fallen by the wayside and gone. But now that we are turning the page and we're talking about this playoff season and the regular season games to come here and what is at stake in these games and just talking football. Do we understand? We're not talking enough, I think, about the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars are hosting a de facto playoff game Saturday.
That's a real thing that's happening.
That Trevor Lawrence is going to take the field in Duval County. Okay, against a Titans team that is a shadow of itself, with all due respect to Joshua Dobbs, is getting, you know, the start of his life. And I'm sure he's got, you know, ideas of his own success in his head and making the most of his moment. And it's an incredible story. He is an incredible human. And the opportunity in front of him and Derrick Henry and the reigning coach of the year and what they're able to do on Saturday night. But the Jacksonville Jaguars have been playing spectacular football in the last 6 weeks. They have taken Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson has taken Trevor Lawrence and put them on a rocket ship that has taken off over the last 6 weeks. And this team was first on the clock in April. First on the clock.
Back-to-back.
After being first on the clock the previous April. And they made some great, when I say, I mean great, decisions in free agency that were questioned about the price tag. Obviously, Christian Kirk is the most prominent name for that price tag. Again, I've been saying it all week. I'll keep saying it because it's a great line. I don't need the best players. I just need the right ones. From Miracle. They put it together. And of course, this does allow me one opportunity, again, to do one of my favorite pastimes, even though I've made a New Year's resolution to be kinder and gentler, just like everyone else in 2023.
Except when it comes to
Urban Meyer. Correct. Honestly. The bones were there. I mean, obviously, they did add some free agents, and they did not have Travis Etienne last year, and you could see what he's doing now, right? Mm-hmm. But seriously, what Doug Peterson has done and how dreadful last year was for them to turn around and host this de facto playoff game on Saturday night, I'm looking forward to seeing what that crowd looks like And I'm really looking forward because these fans are nuts. You criticize them, they'll be in droves on your Twitter feed. Are there Jaguar bots? Do they have bots? I don't know. Are there people somewhere in, like, you know, Russia who are big Jaguar fans or something running a bot farm? I don't know. You're everywhere, and you're passionate. And so this is a big game Saturday night.
Is this known? Maybe you can ask research, Rich. Has a team ever gone from first on the clock to winning the division?
I think it has before. First on the clock to winning the division. I think it has. And I'm trying to just wonder because sometimes teams choose first on the clock because they got the draft choice. You know what I mean? Where they lucked out. They acquired somebody's draft choice in the previous years and it turned into being the number one pick. But I don't know if gone from like
worst record, number one pick,
yes,
boom, win the division.
Correct.
That year.
Right.
I don't know. If that's
and again, it's a testament. If they do it, it's a testament to their free agent maneuvering, obviously, and not in this order, because I'm mentioning free agent maneuvering first, talent on the roster, and the fact that Urban Meyer was so friggin' terrible at his job. And totally messed up the most golden ticket the NFL has handed to a coach in recent memory. Enjoy the night, Jaguar fans, on Saturday night. Let's take a break. What's more likely? And I've got my top five wild card matchups I'm looking forward to seeing the most. 844-204-RICH, also the number for you to dial. Hey, when was the last time you seriously considered your dream? I mean, come on, you used to think about it all the time. What happened? I say it's time you and your dream get back together. Think about it. You could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could tour around all 423 national park sites, build a mountain cabin with your dad, or start your own business. Really, whatever you dream up. And it's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about here. So expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like, well, a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season 2 coming up.
Catch up with season 1 or start season 2 on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show and the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Travis in Washington State's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Travis? What's going on?
Hey there, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple ideas about how I think the NFL should have handled this playoff situation.
Okay.
I think they got way too complicated with it, to be honest with you. I agree that it was appropriate to cancel the rest of the game, but I think they should have made, first of all, the Ravens-Bengals game this coming week basically a win and you win the division game. One game playoff for the AFC North, loser gets the wild card, winner wins the division. And then from there, based on that, say the Bengals win, for example, just do a series of coin flips for the seeding the rest of the way. So, like, if, for example, the Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills all win, the Bills and the Chiefs would do a coin flip for the one seed. If the Chiefs win that, the Bills and the Bengals do a coin flip for the two seed or the three seed. And then you go from there.
Pains me that there's a coin in the air, you know, between two teams that have been playing their guts out all year long. You know, the Ravens win both games against the Bengals, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're flipping a coin to see who gets to go. One coin flip's enough in my mind, Travis. And I appreciate the call. The reason why it had to be that convoluted is you do have to tip the cap to the Bills had already beaten the Chiefs, and the fact that the Bengals have already beaten the Chiefs as well. and the fact that they, you know, the Bengals should have a chance to be the two seed. You know, you gotta. There was no equitable. I don't envy them. There was no equitable fairway, certainly since there wasn't enough fairway left on the hole here. You know, the season's coming up at the end. Chuck in Connecticut, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Chuck? I just said that.
Good afternoon, Rich.
What's going on?
I wanted to say, the decision to end that game the other night,
yes,
I think is a very generational decision, meaning of our time.
Yes.
I'm 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That game never would have. There would have been a pause. He would have been taken to the hospital. The game would have been played. And then the aftermath would have been completely different. Now, as we see, the playoffs are somewhat tainted. Anything you do to work it out for the Bengals, it's just wrong. It's not going to happen. Now, I understand that, you know, people say I'm not empathetic. I'm a sociopath.
No.
But I don't believe. I just think it's a very unusual decision. You know, like people have been taken off the field in an ambulance. The game went on. They ended up paralyzed for life. I'm not, you know.
No, I hear. I totally get what you're saying, Chuck. Here's what I'll push back on here, okay? Although, as you know, I clearly disagree with your assessment.
I know,
and I know you called up anyway, knowing that I would. But I'll just push back on saying that the playoffs are tainted. We don't know how Week 18 is going to play out yet, and I would proffer to say, you know, when the game is played, yeah, you know, it may have a bit of a conversation beforehand about, well, this game could have been somewhere else or should have been somewhere else, and if the result doesn't go the way of the team that loses, there will be a lot of that. But there really is no, there was no way, and I appreciate the call, Chuck. There was no way to do this without upsetting some people. And again, he is right. It is generational that we're in a day and age now where players see a comrade of theirs getting CPR on the field and his heartbeat shocked in and they don't want to play football and everyone understands it. Yeah, that didn't happen back in Chuck Hughes' day when he dropped on the field at Tiger Stadium right in front of Dick Butkus, who will probably tell you today when you see Dick, hey, did you want to play the rest of the game that day? No, they did not. Bears versus Lions. And back in that day, they're like, play on. You know, and I prefer to live in this generation, yeah, where we look at the players and understand they're human beings and that there's something called mental health. And that's why you can't replay the game. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I know it's jarring. You even, you know, audibly reacted to it, TJ. Were you going to play this game and start from the spot where DeMar Hamlin needed to be resuscitated? That's the line of scrimmage, right? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Also, that you know,
that's where we're starting.
I know.
Also, with
where are we spotting the ball?
Dude,
oh, right there. Oh, really? What happened there the last time we played?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Also, with all due respect to Chuck, as you and I discussed earlier in the week, if you've never stood there and watched that process trying to save someone's life right in front of you, guess what? You can't just flip the switch and then
it took
me years to get over what I saw. I'm sure the same with you.
And so, I know what Chuck just said, and there are definitely some people that might agree with him, and I just respectfully disagree with him. Let's get to what's more likely. You got it over there, Chris Brockman? Let's get back to our Friday fun, our usual Friday fun. Hit it. Go for it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, NFL Films Music, Chris Brockman, give me some scenarios. What do you got over there?
Scenarios. You know, something we hadn't talked about yet was the a finalist being announced for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. What's more likely this year? We get more first ballot Hall of Famers or wide receivers enshrined?
Oh, gosh. I don't have a list in front of me.
I have the list, okay. Rich. I have the list. So the first ballot Hall of Famers are Joe Thomas.
He's getting in.
Darrell Revis.
He's getting in.
And Dwight Freeney.
I don't know about Dwight.
Those are your.
So that's two. And now, who are the wide receivers?
Wide receivers are Willie Anderson, Torrey Holt.
I think he should.
Andre
get in.
Johnson.
He should get
Reggie
in.
Wayne.
Oh my
and
gosh.
If you want to count Devin Hester, You can count Devin.
No, I don't think you do, because Devin should have his own
Dion category. Dion will tell you he should be the first ballot Hall of Famer from last year and didn't get in. He was really irate when Devin didn't get in.
Do you think Revis makes it?
I do.
He should.
I think Revis and Joe Thomas make it.
I think DeMarcus Ware should get in.
I mean,
I think Darren Woodson should get in.
I'll say more first ballot Hall of Famers, because, you know, these voters are weird when it comes to wide receivers. Really weird.
Yeah.
Every single one that you mentioned there. I mean, Andre Johnson, I think, should make it. Torrey Holt should make it. Reggie Wayne should make it. But I'll just say, I'll go with first ballot Hall of Famers. And then you're so surprised Darrelle Revis being a first ballot Hall of Famer. Just wait. He'll come in and he'll claim him as a Patriot. It'll be wonderful.
Well, who did he win? I got it.
Move on, sir. What else you got? Move on. Move on.
Hey, who's
more, .org.
Who's more likely to be coaching in the NFL in 2023, Rich?
Mike McCarthy.
Sean Payton or Kevin Jim McCarthy. Harbaugh? Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh?
I'll go Sean Payton. I'll go Sean Payton.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh said he expects to enthusiastically be coaching Michigan.
Yeah, he's
also fronting it with the no one can. I mean, you know, he fronts it all with the no one can tell the future. He could tell the future.
Well, you have a device that can tell the future right next to your desk.
I'm not taking the crystal ball out.
What do you think about the rumors popping back up about Sean McVay to TV?
I heard that too.
And Sean Payton slides right into.
Wait, Los
Rams.
So then I'll take Sean Payton more likely.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, though, Chris. The Rams don't have a first-round pick, and the Saints reportedly want a first-rounder.
Yeah, but there's a lot of golf courses and a beach that Sean likes a lot.
Yeah.
What else you got over there, Chris?
Hey, who's more likely to jump the Patriots for the 7th seed, Dolphins or Steelers?
Steelers. Steelers beat the Browns. Bills lose to the Patriots. And I know we got two on the screen, but you might as well put Mike Glennon in teal on the screen, because that might be it, too. Glennon in teal, by the way, was the original working title of John Hughes' Pretty in Pink. Glennon in teal.
Not as good.
Hey, Ducky didn't like Glennon. I just loved Molly Ringwald back in the day, man. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, did you guys know something about Pickett really quick?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you knew about Molly Ringwald.
I knew about Molly Ringwald.
With him, you never know, man.
He's like, yeah.
You know who was in the barn the other day watching football?
Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy. It was crazy.
Oh, Mila knows Molly from where? I mean, Molly was on that 70s show that one time.
Okay, she may have been.
Okay.
Kenny Pickett,
yes.
The first rookie in NFL history, guys, to have a game-winning touchdown pass in the final minute of back-to-back games.
He's good.
Never been done.
I was right.
I'm claiming
that I was right about
it. Just pay the man, will you?
Hey, who's more likely to Rich to be the 7th seed in the NFC? Seahawks, Lions, or Packers?
Packers. They're coming. They're playing the best football out of all of them, most consistent.
This is going to be a good game, though.
They're on a winning streak. I think Seattle beats the Rams, and I think game 271, the Packers win it. But I think it's going to be great seeing Dan Campbell in the Lambeau cold, certainly if the Lions have, quote-unquote, nothing to play for. By the way, this whole idea that the Lions have nothing, that's why they put this game there, not only because the Packers can be winning and in. They know that if the Lions are somehow eliminated before the game.
You don't think they want to knock Green Bay out?
Excuse me. This is part of Campbell's winning brand and brand building a winning brand in front of the nationally televised audience, knocking out the Packers to show everybody that the Lions are good enough and would have been good enough if they'd only beaten Seattle, back in week 4, week 5, whatever that was? That's the tiebreak that would be put on the table here by Seattle to go to the playoffs. This whole idea that the Lions might not play harder. Get out of here with that noise. What else?
All right, here's a fun player one. What's more likely? Patrick Mahomes breaks the single-season passing record, 5,477. He needs about 400 and change.
Okay.
Or Josh Jacobs sets the Raiders' rushing record, 1,759. He's about 150 shy. of Marcus Allen's.
Oh,
mark.
I think Mahomes is going to throw for four Bills against the Raiders in this game. Yeah, I mean, look, man, what do you think? I'm going to sit here and choose the Raiders against the Chiefs after all this time?
One final time to go Raider Nation.
I have done finally the Goodfellas turning my back on you. I'm turning my back. Okay.
The ultimate win is turning my back.
You know, one mile Raider Nation. You know how I feel about this team and how I felt about this team and how I've wanted this team to do well. And, you know, if it's knowing the Raiders, they'll take a 10-point lead, lose it, and Mahomes is still going to break it.
Mahomes is going to be slinging the rock.
I'm going to sit here after all this time and go with the Raiders against the Chiefs. No, sir.
Lamar's going to be slinging. Lamar.
I'm turning
Mahomes
my back.
Mahomes is
going to
be slinging the rock on. Chris, you know that.
All right. Over-under, guys. What's more likely? Over-under coaching openings on Black Monday. I'm going to put it at 6. We had 10 last year.
That's going to be
currently
Black Monday.
3 opening right now. I'm going to put it at 6 on Monday.
Wow, you think Lovey's going to get got?
I mean, I'm not in charge of the graphics.
Wow, we got Rich, Kingsbury Saturday and Lovey up there, huh? Yeah.
Well, Colts, Broncos, and Panthers are already open.
Yes.
I'm saying there's going to be, I don't know, you think there's going to be 3 more on Monday?
I don't. How about
really?
That? Yeah, I don't.
You think it stays at 3?
I think there'll be one more that we don't see coming, and then we'll be surprised by it, and we'll see what's what.
What'd you think of the Mike McDaniel rumor last night?
Which is what?
That he might get got.
Get out of here.
That's the rumor.
Well, there's only one person you should ask to see if he wants the, if he wants. There's one person who you should ask if Mike McDaniel is going to be the coach there next year, and that's Tom Brady, apparently. So, does Brady want to play for him or not?
Do you think we need one more?
Ah.
All right, we'll get one
what
more.
What do you got?
Rich, it's week 18.
I've heard that.
Okay. I don't know why we're playing an extra game, but there's a lot of weird quarterbacks getting starts this week.
This guy. Just say Joe Flacco and be done with
I'm
it.
I'm not. I'm not going to say Joe
what
Flacco.
What do you got?
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, TJ.
That's a fact.
What's the higher total?
Oh, God.
The number of L's Kevin McCarthy takes today or combined touchdown passes from Skylar Thompson, Nathan Peterman, David Blau, Josh Dobbs, and Sam Howell.
So how many, by the way, great photograph of Kevin McCarthy. By the way, if I ever thought like there's any McCarthy mentioned, it would be Mike, not Kevin, on this program. So he was 0-for-11 over a two-day stretch or a three-day stretch?
0-for-11 over a two-day stretch.
No, a three-day stretch.
Yeah. He's already 0-for-2 today.
Okay.
But he's gaining votes.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
He is.
Okay.
I think he only needs 3 more.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Wow, he's close then.
They're making deals.
Oh, God.
So he's already taken 2 L's. Maybe he takes 1 more. You think any of those guys throw any touchdowns this weekend?
I'll take the McCarthy totals. Yeah, I'll take the Kevin McCarthy
Skylar
totals.
Thompson, the Peterman is starting, by the way.
Let me tell you about Peterman.
David Blau, Dobbs, and Howell. Can you name all the teams that they're starting for?
Oh, nice. No, I'll take the quarterbacks.
Okay.
I'll take the quarterbacks.
Oh. Did you rhyme that on purpose? Dobbs, Blau, Howell.
Well done.
Dobbs, Blau, Howell.
Well done. This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. The wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl games, and the Super Bowl in Arizona. You catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. Mercedes-Benz Vans, they've been sponsoring our phone line for months, and we're thrilled to talk about Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Vans with you because you unlock your potential when you unlock the doors to be your own boss and steer your own success. I talk about blazing your own trail. It's 2023. You must have so many ideas about what you want to do this year. Get a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Van. If it's wanting to start your own business, guess what? You can do that. If you just want to go drive around, maybe in advance of one of these championship games, the championship game that might be at a neutral site. As a matter of fact, Jordan Poyer drove from Buffalo to Kansas City in a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Yes. How about that?
Mike Del Tufo could drive from here to Arizona.
16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, thousands of ways to customize, now available in an all-wheel drive. Unlock your potential. Don't wait. Inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Phone lines are lit, and I've got my 5 wild card matchups I want to see the most. That's coming up. Let's go to who's been waiting the longest. Let's go to John in Dallas. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John? Jim, you're on. Sorry, Jim in Dallas. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, Rich, I got an alternate site
for
the playoff game.
What do you got?
And I got two comments. The alternate site's the original Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
Ah, outdoors?
It's a real grass field. It's outdoors, and today it is 67 degrees.
Ah, okay. What else you got?
Okay. So, I got two comments.
What do you have?
Fear the Frog and Roll...
Fear the Frog.
Fear the Frog, yes. And Roll Toad.
Roll Toad, he says. Okay. Were you one of those loud drunk people wearing purple I saw in Phoenix last week, Jim?
Unfortunately, no, Rich. I paid for a tuition to TCU, so I'm a loyal fan.
Attaboy.
The ticket price is a bit high.
Not bad. Hey, look, I'm wishing you the best of luck. I want to lose to the team that wins it all. I'll be rooting for you Monday night. That's for sure.
Well,
seriously,
thank you very much.
You got to take care, Jim. Thanks for the call. I'm going like this at me. Is, like, take that and, you know, put it somewhere in the sun.
Roll Toad, is that what you do when you're sipping on ayahuasca?
Hey-o.
Mike Del Tufo, I need NFL Films music.
Give it to him.
Because it's time. These are the wild card matchups I want to see the most. I came up with them the other day, but obviously I didn't feel it was comfortable enough doing it. I wrote them down. I sent it last night. I don't remember what number 5 on the list is, so my costumes, you got to remind me. But I am looking forward to these games. All right, now I remember.
Graphic.
Here we go. Number 5 on this list, the wild card matchup I am looking forward to see. I want to see, because this one I think is going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I want to see Daniel Jones play a wild card playoff game.
They're going to win.
I want to see Brian Daboll take these Giants against the Minnesota Vikings.
We talking playoffs or what?
Saquon, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and whoever those guys who I've never heard of catching passes for Daniel Jones are. That's what I see. Kayvon Thibodeau aiming for Kirk Cousins. Big Z aiming for Daniel Jones. I want to see it. Two guys who spent much of the year with Coach of the Year candidacies going against each other. Kevin O'Connell for the Vikings, Brian Daboll for the Giants. That's number 5. Number 4, we've seen this matchup before this year, and it was a glimpse of the future that nobody thought would be possible.
Say it.
Number four on my list of top 5 wild card matchups I want to see. I want to see the Jacksonville Jaguars hosting Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers.
This is number 1 for me, I think.
I want to see teal versus powder blue. I want to see it all. And Justin Herbert v. Trevor Lawrence. I want to see this matchup will be dynamite. I know everybody thinks, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs, what are they going to do? They're like the TCU of the NFL playoffs, right?
Probably.
Uh-huh. I want to see the Jaguars, and the Chargers might not want to see the Jaguars team they saw earlier this year. What was it, 41-10 was the final of that one? Something like that?
Some premium if hair.
Not exactly like that.
Position.
Oh, yeah. Certainly for us, we want to see the flow. That's number 4 on the list. Number 3. Now, I don't think he's going to play, but the last time he did play against this team, it was in the snow, and it was a heck of a game this year. I wouldn't mind seeing Dolphins-Bills one more time in Western New York. And I don't know if Tua can play. I'm just hoping he can. And I understand the whole idea of wanting him to play might be putting him in danger. That is not what I want. Obviously, if he can't go, I don't think the Dolphins are going to make it. But if the Dolphins do make it, I think this is the game that I want to see. And hopefully Tua would be back and healthy and able to play it. But I want to see that. I want to see that matchup we saw in the snow on that Week 15 Saturday night NFL Network triple header. I want to see it in the playoffs. That would be an amazing playoff game, wouldn't it? For a wild card game. Number 2 on this list, I want to see Aaron Rodgers make the playoffs, and I want to see Aaron Rodgers go to San Francisco and play the 49ers. I want to see Packers 49ers in the wild card round. Oh, my gosh.
You're going to bet against Aaron Rodgers that game?
I don't know. Rodgers v. Purdy. Niners v. Packers.
Come on.
Who wouldn't want to see that? Who would not want to see that? That would normally be number 1 on my list if it wasn't for the Dallas Cowboys visiting Tom Brady. Come on! on!
TJ's just like sitting
come
over there.
Come on! That's all I got to say.
Go.
That's all I got to say is, come on!
You're going to bet against Tom Brady?
L-F-G. The Dallas Cowboys. I know you've got ideas in the one seed and you'd like to make it. You know, I know you, TJ, are going to this weekend thinking the Eagles,
they're going to lose.
They might lose against the Giants team. That's the only team locked into a seed in a playoff spot going into Week 18. The only one. They have zero to play for except pride and getting their momentum
pride,
going.
Rich.
They go into Philadelphia. They take care of business. Somehow the 49ers wind up losing to the Arizona Cardinals and David Blau.
J.J. Watt might go off.
And J.J. Watt's last game. I know you're seeing that. And then on top of it, I know you want to take Major Tutty and turn him into bacon.
Bacon's delicious.
Here you go.
Love bacon.
Bacon's
that
good.
That said,
ham.
I don't want to see that.
No.
Why?
Whoa.
Cowboys, Tom Brady,
yes.
And scene.
Bring it on.
And scene. Hey, you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Thanks to all the listeners and viewers of this show for chiming in this week. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to the entire crew.
Good job, Rich.
This has been an emotional week on this program. It's for everyone else in the sports world. Have a great weekend.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we could have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.